Welcome to the Full Press Fantasy Pod, part of Full Press Coverage. My name is Kyle Senra, and joining me is my co-host, Brad Harbin. How you doing, Brad?
Hey, Kyle. Doing well, man. Just trying to wrap my mind around all this madness. And no, I'm not talking college football with March Madness happening. NFL has its own madness going on this March. I haven't seen anything this wild with all the transactions, but it's crazy. It's mind-boggling.
I think just the sheer quantity, right? Like the number of how much movement there is pretty ridiculous, especially a quarterback. And we're going to dedicate all of this episode today essentially to quarterback movement. It's the one thing I could speak of, Brad, like a crazy March. Was it, I think, 2021, where we saw Davante Adams get traded and Tyreek Hill get traded. It was these massive trades. Mm-hmm. We talked about it last week, how there were some trades. If you go back to our previous episode, we talked about some dynasty trades, but also some of the real NFL trades that kind of came early in the new season, offseason process. Jerry Jeudy going to the Browns, and they just announced today he was given an extension. Jerry Jeudy, not just a rental. I believe they essentially, because I believe his fifth year option was that's what this year's season was going to be. And so they gave an extension to maybe kind of erase that and give, there's enough guaranteed money, but it pushes it out through a few years. So maybe you lower the cap hit this year, I suppose.
Sure.
But anyway, Jerry Jeudy on the Browns for what looks like the next three seasons.
Okay.
So it wasn't just a trade for a rental. I know we talked about last week the comparisons between Jeudy and Elijah Moore.
Right.
No Elijah Moore extension. I mean, he's still a year out from that. But, it just seems like, I guess this would be the last year of his rookie contract.
Yeah.
Crazy how we're already there. I guess he is eligible for an extension. And
we were just talking about him. Yeah.
So, I mean, the reason, clearly the Browns think Jerry Jeudy's better than Elijah Moore. They went and they made the trade. They immediately gave him the money. So whether they're right or wrong, we'll find out in the season. But at least it looks like he's above Elijah Moore in the pecking order, which we did speculate already. But I think this extension just confirms that.
That doesn't surprise me. With that mindset. Yeah, I mean, it's crazy you're talking about Elijah Moore. I mean, I feel like we were just talking about him with a rookie draft. But man. The years have flown by here on a Full Press Fantasy Pod, for sure.
Crazy. I mean, we always talk about Deontay Johnson. We talked about him last week, too, getting traded to the Panthers. Exactly. And then, funny enough, Brad, we ended with Mac Jones being traded to your Jaguars.
We did.
And, I mean, that was the first domino, apparently, of all these quarterbacks on rookie contracts being traded. Yeah. And for a lot of cases, or I guess in most cases, it appears to be as a backup quarterback. So Mac Jones will back up Trevor Lawrence. And then other teams got in on this action. Let's go get a cheap quarterback on a rookie contract to back up our current established starter. I know, talk about rookie drafts, Brad. Just a couple years ago, you made a trade with me in the rookie draft of the FBC Dynasty League, and it was to get a mid-second round pick to go draft Desmond Ridder. You're thinking your long-term QB2 behind Trevor Lawrence. And that worked out. Yeah. For as well for you as it did for the Falcons themselves. So they went and they traded him away, and we'll talk a bit later about what they did, but the Atlanta Falcons, I mentioned, trade him away. Arizona Cardinals decided to give Desmond Ridder a shot, which is interesting. I mean, they do have another rookie quarterback contract, Clayton Tune entering his second season. Got a starter two last year, I think, after the Dobbs trade before Murray started. I guess they saw enough, and I don't know that Desmond Ridder was that great, but apparently good enough for the Cardinals to say, we want Desmond Ridder. So, interesting that they, I guess we'll talk a lot about picks here, but they actually made a player trade, in the NHL, they call them hockey trades when it's actually player for player, not just a player for a pick, but a real football move here, so to speak. But, Cardinals get Desmond Ridder, Atlanta Falcons get Rondale Moore. I'm pretty sure it was done straight up. I don't think there were any other picks or any other compensation in the trade, so it was literally just a switch. Cardinals wanted a backup quarterback, Falcons wanted another wide receiver in Rondale Moore. So what'd you think of this trade, Brad?
I think it's interesting. I don't know enough about the Cardinals offense and mindset. I don't know if Ridder kind of follows the mold of a Kyler Murray type offense. I'm not sure if that was the thinking. Yeah, Ridder certainly broke my heart, just like he did the Falcons. Not really materializing into much. the last couple years. So I don't know. Maybe there's some resurgence in Arizona. I mean, I don't think it's going to be anything immediate. I think the one for one. I mean, you look at Rondell Moore. I mean, another somewhat disappointing career so far for Moore. I mean, kind of came in with a lot of, with a little bit of hype. I mean, with his speed and his twitchiness and his
funny, the same year as Elijah Moore. Yeah, I'm pretty sure those guys were the same year.
Yeah,
and
yeah, I remember that being a piece of conversation. Yeah,
both in the went in the second round. It looked like there was chances either could be first round picks, and probably would say both have failed to live up to their expectations as second round picks. I gotta say, I think Elijah Moore had a really good rookie season.
He did.
He showed promise there, but nothing for sure. Since.
For sure.
I don't think Rondell Moore has really shown much of anything. So
yeah, not much. It's the tendency to be off the field. With I know he's had some injuries. So yeah, I mean he's going obviously to a revamped Atlanta offense. Maybe he gets a crack here and there. I mean they probably needed some help in the wide receiver room. I'm not exactly sure if Rondell Moore is going to be the answer or not, but change of scenery. Indoors, fast track. I mean, granted, I guess Arizona's pretty fast as well, but we'll see. I mean, basically two teams taking chances on some guys that have certainly underperformed the last few years.
Yeah, I think Ritter goes there as the, I would say, the clear backup. Maybe it's a battle between him and Clayton Tune, and who knows, maybe he doesn't win that, but I'd expect at least for him to come in as a backup still, though. I guess all the talk the offseason was the Falcons were bringing in a quarterback. There were rumors about different guys, but once the season ended and like the amount of times he was benched last year, it seemed like, I guess, kind of inevitable that this would happen.
Yeah.
Hey, I guess you could say the same comment for another one of these 2022 quarterbacks. We're going to be talking about a lot of them. I guess the appeal of Desmond Ridder, still 2 years left. So the Falcons, the Cardinals are trading for, it's weird to talk about Desmond Ridder on the Cardinals, staying on the Falcons so long. But they still get 2 years of his rookie contract left. So knowing they're paying Kyler, they can get a good, stable backup for the next two seasons, cost controlled. I think that at least gives them continuity within the offense if ever Kyler has to miss games. And actually, to your point about the same style, I think Desmond Ridder runs enough, not as fast as Kyler. Very few NFL players are, at least certainly quarterbacks.
Sure.
I think he runs enough that the playbook could be pretty similar.
Okay.
You might not design as many runs for Ridder as you would Kyler. I mean, you know what? Maybe this new we don't know really what the Kyler offense is going to be. Like last year was kind of, okay, he got reacclimated after the knee injury. It was more about just reestablishing himself. What does the actual Jonathan Gannon, I guess it's not really Jonathan Gannon offense, but what does the Cardinals offense under this coaching staff look like with Kyler Murray given a full training camp with him? Right. So I guess there's still questions there, but another 2022 quarterback, rookie quarterback traded away from that rookie class, still on their rookie contract.
Yeah.
A little more complicated. Now we get to the quarterbacks for picks as Sam Howell traded away by the Commanders to the Seattle Seahawks. So Seattle, interesting dilemma there. On top of Sam Howell, the Seahawks get a fourth rounder, which is 102nd overall, and a sixth rounder, 179th overall. The Commanders get a third round pick from the Seahawks, which is 78th overall, as well as a fifth, 152nd. So it's essentially two move ups from the fourth to the third, and then from the sixth to the fifth. You're looking at 20-ish picks, around 20, 25 picks move up each time. For those two move downs, the Seahawks get Sam Howell. Rookie contract with Sam Howell. I remember looking up Geno Smith's contract information because he did just sign an extension this offseason.
Right.
And essentially, I think it let them lower the cap hit by moving some money around, but still most of the guarantees are this year. So the Seahawks could, in theory, cut Geno Smith after the season, before the 2025 season. So effectively, he's just there for 1 year. Sam Howell likely looking to be on the Seahawks for the next 2 years. Although, as we just showed, rookie contract quarterbacks will move around pretty easily. Teams like them. So maybe they could always re-up it. But what's your takeaway here, Brad? Do you think there's a legit competition here between Geno Smith and Sam Howell? And in the idea that if they especially want Sam Howell to take over the job next year, they're going to do almost, Geno almost has no excuse. Like any little dip in play or you know, one bad game, he might be looking over his shoulder and Sam Howell goes in there, maybe thinking 2025, especially the Seahawks, that's who they want to have and see if he's worth extending. Or do you think this is just a clear backup move and this is still Geno Smith's team until he proves otherwise?
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, I guess first off, I'll say the answer to the question I think I had for George a couple of weeks ago, you know, came out, you know, what are they going to do with Sam Howell? I think we got that answer. Him going to Seattle, I think there is a possibility he could compete for the job. It may be something that happens later on in the season. I mean, I know this time last year we were talking about how bad the Seahawks were going to be, and they, you know, kind of surprised us. Same with the year before, obviously. But I think with this move, with how things are structured, I think it could set up for Sam Howell to move into that role next season. I feel like him and Drew Locke, who, you know, obviously had departed, I'm sure we'll get to him in a little bit, I think they're pretty comparable. I think Howell is more athletic, especially with the ability to run. He definitely struggled with his decision making, taking so many sacks last year. If he can polish that up, I mean, the kid's got a pretty decent arm. Seems like he's got a real, you know, winning attitude. Wants to be a leader. I mean, he showed flashes last year, especially early for Washington. I mean, he made several fantasy managers happy that, you know, maybe had to roll with him due to an injury, at least for a few weeks there. Certainly, definitely tapered off towards the end of the season. That's saying it lightly. But there were a few weeks there where he certainly shined and looked like he was going to be in Washington for the long haul. So, I mean, I think there's that potential. I mean, I think the new coaching staff, you know, kind of sees – that opportunity. I'm not sure if it's going to happen right away at the beginning of the season, but if the Seahawks start floundering, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see Howell get a shot. What are you thinking? You thinking it's more of a backup role or?
Well, it's funny because Sam Howell was, I believe, leading the league in passing yards after like week 13.
Right.
So I was doing pretty good, but it also does it seem like what the Commanders did last year was let's be really pass heavy. Let's have it just Sam Howell throw it all and show us, is he the guy or not? And I guess they got their answer to say no. I think he could legit compete for the starting job with Geno Smith. I know Geno's had a couple of really good seasons with Seattle, but for the majority of his career, it hadn't been great at all. Sam, I think last year, looked a lot better than Geno ever had before he got to Seattle.
Sure.
Suddenly, if you put Sam Howell on this Seahawks team with DK Metcalf and now they've, you know, Tyler Lockett, instead of releasing him, they've kind of worked a restructure there. They re-signed Noah Fant. Like there's so much continuity there that in theory that would lead to say, okay, yeah, Geno Smith is the guy. They want to just keep it going, keep rolling with it. And I think he is the favorite to be the starter week one. But I think if Sam Howell impresses enough in training camp, there might be a super short leash, or maybe we even see the upset happen and Sam Howell starts week one. I don't think that's out of the possibility. The Seahawks have famously been that. Everyone earns every spot in training camp every year. Doesn't matter what you've done in the past. So I think if you keep that attitude, it's you give Sam Howell a fair shake in training camp. And I don't think it's more at this point. I wouldn't say it's more than like 55-45 that Geno gets it. Maybe 60-40. At most, but maybe I'm wrong there. I'm sure other people, maybe more closely connected team, might say otherwise. But I don't know. I feel like with the, you know, especially the restructure of Geno makes a lot of sense, right? Like it's okay. We'll you got to earn next year, but there'll be something next year if you can go out and earn it. Maybe it's the same. It's a couple of motivational tactics on Geno to try and get the best season you can out of him possible this year. Maybe that's he's going to treat it like a contract year and you hope that you get the results of it. So maybe it's still just Geno's job all year. And if he, if they get eliminated from the playoffs, that's when they throw Sam Howell in, kind of, I would say, similar to Sam Howell's rookie season, right? He only started the last week of the regular season after they got eliminated. And then it's funny how Sam Howell and Desmond Ridder both had the same thing happen at the end of this 2023 season where, okay, they were starting most of the year and then got benched a couple times at the end of the year.
Right.
And I think one of those instances, I think for Washington, Jacoby Brissett, I believe it was, even started Oh, the quarterback turnover. I can never really remember who's where anymore. But yeah, I think it was Brissett there last year. He even ended up starting a game or two over Howell. So, you know, like it's, I guess that the, that's when the writing kind of was on the wall there when for both those quarterbacks, really, is when,
Sure.
hey, we got faith in you. We're going to give you the season. And then as it weaned on, especially Atlanta, because they were still in a playoff race late, and
Right.
they were just going to go with Heinicke instead of Ritter. It seemed like
Keep
it was,
rolling. Yep.
they were admitting that right now Heinicke is the better quarterback. And so.
Right. So based on what you're saying for our fantasy owners out there, our dynasty owners, if you have Hal, probably a good idea to keep him. Or if you don't have Hal, maybe, you know, see what you can get, you know, offer, you know, something kind of cheap to try and, you know, obtain him. Set.
Yeah, I like both those ideas. If you have him, hold him. If you don't have him, you know, he might be really cheap to acquire, especially if you're thinking like I am, where he could even start this year. I mean, I think his price has certainly gone down. To be honest, the time to sell Sam Howell would have been last year before he started getting benched. Week 13, when he was still leading the league in passing yards.
Gotcha.
I remember trying to trade for him at times last season in that stretch where he was playing really well, and people were asking for firsts, and I'm sure – no, I wasn't necessarily willing to do that. In one particular league, I was able to get another quarterback for a second, and he might actually be starting this year. So I kind of feel happy about that. We'll talk about that later. But it seemed like people could have gotten first last year for Sam Howell. So that would have been the time to sell. I think once he started to get benched, then that sell window shut. I think everyone kind of tied Washington. I don't know that his price has gone up. If you have him, I would hold him until he starts starting games. He gets in there and starts some games for Seattle this year. That's when you could maybe recoup a second round pick in 2025, perhaps, or a second plus something else. That's kind of the idea. I think, yeah, definitely a hold him right now. And yeah, I think we could talk about the dynasty value, but there is something else I would like to talk about first. Another series of trades and events that made me quite sad, but we'll get to that in a minute. Any final thoughts here just about the Seahawks? So I guess takeaway is we're both expecting Geno Smith to be the week one starter, but do you expect Sam Howell to start games this year? Like, let's say outside of injury, because any backup quarterback could start because of injury, but like just Geno gets benched, Sam Howell gets the job.
Yeah. I mean, you know, speaking today, middle of March. Yeah. I do think he's going to get an opportunity. I mean, things obviously could change, come, training camp and all that good stuff. But yeah, I mean, I think they brought him in, you know, to, you know, kind of push Gino, but I do think he's going to get that opportunity at some point this year. So that kind of makes him an intriguing, person to go get possibly.
All right. So the Steelers saga, the stealing players. No, I guess I stole that joke from somebody, but, before they even acquired players, hey, look at that, another 2022 rookie quarterback got traded, still in their rookie
Good
contract
call.
Now this is the guy with the fifth year option because he's the only first rounder, Kenny Pickett. It's funny, he went to I'm pretty sure he went to school in the state of Pennsylvania,
right?
Gets to stay in Pennsylvania as he was traded to the Eagles alongside a fourth round pick, 120th overall. The Steelers got the Eagles third round pick, so 98th overall, as well as a couple of seventh round picks in 2025. So what were your thoughts on this Kenny Pickett trade?
I mean, I think it was a tough spot for him to land. I mean, I'm not surprised that the you know, Steelers moved on, obviously, with getting the Russell Wilson in there. I mean, he's a hometown boy. If Russ started to not cook, there may have been some grumblings and you know, to try and bring Pickett back. But I wasn't a Pickett fan before. If I remember right, you weren't necessarily either. So I think going to Philly, I mean, I think it could be the last we you know, really see of him. I mean, it kind of, I mean, obviously, you know, injuries happen and stuff, but he hasn't really, you know, shown that much. I mean, I don't think the offense necessarily, you know, kind of fits his style. He would, you know, as far as, you know, the tough yards that Jalen Hurts gets at the goal line or fourth and ones, anything like that. Obviously, that you're not going to put the ball in the hands of Kenny Pickett during that. So yeah, I'm kind of.
I was gonna say, to be fair, the like Jalen Hurts' ratio of like run touchdowns to pass touchdowns probably matches Pickett's. It's just you divide those numbers by in like by four.
Sure.
The problem with Kenny Pickett, he doesn't really fit any offense because most offenses need the quarterback to score touchdowns, and he just
correct. We have not seen that in the last couple of years, for sure.
I thought Desmond Ridder was bad at throwing touchdowns, and he proved he's at least significantly, or not maybe not significantly, but better than Kenny Pickett at it. But I guess that's what I was gonna say. It's funny that just like Ridder, just like Howell, Pickett got benched at the end of the year.
Sure.
But unlike those other two, which was Jacoby Brissett, Taylor Heinicke, okay, these guys have started stretches of before, and they've I guess Heinicke's played in the playoff game, and Brissett's looked decent at times. I thought he looked pretty good on that year he was the starter with the Colts before he suffered an injury, and then that thing started to tail off there. Kenny Pickett got benched for Mason Rudolph.
Ugh.
Yeah, Mason Rudolph started a playoff game over Kenny Pickett. That was the decision the Steelers made.
Yeah,
well, I guess they were left in a no good decision mark, but that just shows how bad it was. The writing, I think, was definitely on the wall there.
Yes.
Just like for those other guys. So we shouldn't necessarily be too shocked, but yeah. He's got no chance to start over Hurts. This is not like Sam Howell at all. This is deep down in the rankings here for sure.
Agreed.
It's funny because the Kenny Pickett, Mac Jones debates have kind of existed the last couple seasons. Okay, they both back end QB2s, and now they're like, you go from maybe QB 24, 25 to 44 and 45, but they're still probably next to each other again.
Yeah, most likely for sure. And I mean, Pickett had the better players around him, in my opinion. Obviously, Deontay Johnson. They brought in George Pickens. Solid tight ends. I guess the tight ends for Hunter Henry and Freiermuth are pretty even. Could lean either way, depending on the matchup. But as far as like weapons, I mean, Pickett definitely had the more weapons. And both he and Mac Jones, pretty comparable. I would imagine as far as stats go. And I can certainly see where they're still tied together even further down the rankings, like you said.
Of course, the Steelers trading away Pickett opened the door completely for them to trade for Justin Fields, which if you told me this a month ago, the Steelers are trading for Justin Fields, party time, okay. Now he's with a competent organization.
Sure.
A month ago, he said he would have had Deontay Johnson and George Pickens to throw to. But what great weapons. I mean, DJ Moore was fantastic last year, but getting that second decent weapon, or even, I mean, Cole Kmet was pretty good, actually, but getting a more consistent series of weapons around him further. You think back to 2 years ago when Fields was throwing to Equanimeous St. Brown and Dante Pettis. Those are your two guys. Go, what?
Try and get a first down. Yeah.
Yeah. But don't try and run it. Don't want to get hurt. No. You have to do that a lot. But anyway, so super excited I would have been. Then you tell me the compensation. Oh, the Steelers gave up a 2025 sixth. Huh? That's his market, which could be a fourth if he sees 51% of the snaps this year. So conditional sixth/fourth. Wow. Who knows? Yeah. And under normal circumstances, if he's competing against, I guess Kenny Pickett, like he got traded away, or Mason Rudolph, I guess he was a free agent. He's not there anymore. Nor Mitch Trubisky. The Steelers just completely revamped the QB room.
They did. Because
not only did they bring in Justin Fields, but unfortunately for me and all the Justin Fields, I almost want to say slander, because it feels slanderous to have praised him this much, but all the Justin Fields hype evaporated really even before the trade happened, because a couple weeks before the Steelers traded for him, they signed Russell Wilson, who was released by the Broncos. It's the largest dead cap hit in NFL history. And it's like basically like twice as large as like the previous dead. Like I remember Matt Ryan, he was released this last year from the Falcons. I think it was maybe got to about $40 million in dead cap.
It was hefty. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think Russell Wilson, something like $83 million, $85 million, $88 million, whatever it is. It's
crazy.
It's ridiculous. So the Steelers were able to sign him for a 1 year, $1.2 million contract, since he's already got so much money anyway on this recent contract with the Broncos. But yeah, it's I did want to talk about this kind of after the Seahawks situation, because I feel like it's really similar. You've got Geno Smith and Russell Wilson, funny enough, the guy that replaced Russell Wilson in Seattle. But that veteran QB, and I mean, it's new teams for both here in terms of Wilson and Fields both joining a new team. But you've got that veteran that, I think even before it came out and was announced, expected to be the starter. And I think that's what the Steelers have basically said. There's no competition. Russell Wilson is the week one starter. Unless he gets such a bad teammate that someone actually kills him on the Steelers that just can't handle him. Which is hilarious because there's been a lot of like negative talk about Russell Wilson from former teammates. But maybe this whole plan is to actually help Russ, because all you hear from the Chicago Bears players is how great of a teammate Justin Fields is, how sad they are. It seemed like through the offseason, people were constantly being asked about it. It's like, yeah, we'll be sad if they trade him away, which seems like it's going to happen. We don't want that to happen. We'll try and win games no matter who's our quarterback. But it seemed like a lot of Bears players wanted Fields to still be the QB and for them to build around him. So you get this really likable player in the locker room, and someone who's so unliked that everyone thinks he's the
Insert,
cringiest person ever. Maybe combined, they actually make like a Fields helps Wilson become a better teammate. Maybe Wilson could help Fields become a better passer, and then it's wheels off again for him in all the dynasty leagues. No, but yeah. It seems there's less chance of the what we see with like Sam Howell getting starts over Geno than there would be Fields getting starts over Wilson. Although I kind of view both situations to be incredibly similar. How do you feel?
I can see that. I mean, just everything riding on Tomlin and the streak of winning seasons and all that stuff. I mean, I feel horrible for what happened to Justin Fields. I mean, I don't think I have him anywhere, but yeah, I mean, like you said, a month ago there was talk about him going to the Steelers before everything happens. And I was like, okay, that makes sense, but. I was pretty baffled to see that pop up on my timeline that he was going there. I mean, I think you mentioned before the show, it's not even, a fifth year option is probably going to be off the table. I mean, I was
Yeah,
pretty
just to say,
baffled.
like if they're already saying they're not going to start him this year, why would they pick up the fifth year option next year? A contract extension, if they really liked him, seems more likely than the fifth year option. They have flexibility. It's not just one big cap hit next year. Still gives them room to bring in other quarterbacks, but maybe you want to keep him long term if you like what you see from him. So,
I mean,
I doubt the fifth year option is picked up.
I just think how the whole Fields thing really played out just really just epitomizes what that the NFL is really just such a business. I mean, and the fact of what the Bears gained for him and all that, it's mind-boggling. I mean, the
The
guy just
offseason
came in.
reports, I feel like from the combine, people were talking like the Bears might be able to get like a second or a third. I mean, like, nope.
It's crazy. I mean, my son's a big Justin Fields fan. He's upset. I mean,
Your podcast co-host is a big Justin Fields fan. He is
he is,
distraught.
Absolutely, absolutely. But I am with you that I think there is a possibility. If push comes to shove and things aren't going well, Russ isn't doing what he does. I mean, he lost his I guess there's a new number one receiver there now, with Deontay gone. But yeah, I mean, yeah, that it's yeah, it's definitely rough. I mean, I'm glad. I'm glad I don't have Fields anywhere, although I'm still tempted to go try and grab him just in case somewhere. I mean, I don't know
To
what
be
that
the
would
cheapest
take
he's
or
probably been.
I mean, yeah, it would definitely be be worth a shot, especially
Don't
for
do what I did and
sure.
take him in the first round of a startup last year. That was not the time. That was not the time to buy him.
So with that on, with that, theory, what are you going to do with him, or what are you thinking? I mean,
Yeah, I mean, in that league where I took him in the first round of the start of it's a that's going to be a long-term rebuild, so I don't even care to
and that was with
I'm not
Lawrence.
going to do what the Bears did and just sell him away for nothing. Like, I'm going to play the long-term game there, and if he gets to be a starter again, that's when I'll consider selling him. But if I've got to hold him for a whole year, I mean, it's kind of sucks. It's almost a dead asset, but that That team needs a bit more work than just a QB2, which it definitely needs now because I don't have one. It's all on Trevor Lawrence's shoulders.
I was going to say, I thought that was the one you had Trevor with.
Yeah, okay. I went, traded up for two first rounders, went Lawrence, Fields, back-to-back picks. Thinking, I got two young quarterbacks. Lamar Jackson was still hadn't, you know, there was the franchise tag stuff going on. It was early March. He hadn't signed his extension yet. That was clearly the pick to make, but I was just, I got scared off of the contract and I shouldn't have. I knew it too. It's like, I'm probably overreacting to this. And yeah, sure enough, should have taken Lamar. Mm. All right, learn from that one. Hope the listeners didn't make the same mistakes I did. Sorry for mentioning. But yeah, Fields definitely dropping down the rankings. I gotta say, these four quarterbacks on these two teams, the Steelers and Seahawks, I have them all next to each other. Currently, I've got Sam Howell at QB 24, Fields at 25, Geno Smith 26, Russell Wilson 27.
Oh wow!
Yeah, I like the two younger guys, even though they may not start right away. That's the kind of the tricky thing of that spot in the QB dynasty rankings. But I kind of like, especially Howell as a potential ability to start this year. But it's the, you know, Wilson, Geno, like are they going to get other shots to start after this? Maybe.
Right.
But especially if they play well. If Geno plays well enough, the team probably just keeps him anyway. It's his job next year too, but. Certainly, if Russ rebounds, I mean, I think we saw him rebound last year.
Yeah.
Well, over what he was in 2022.
Sure.
Not enough for the Broncos to keep him, apparently, and incur the biggest dead cap hit in NFL history. So I guess they still thought he wasn't that great. But assuming he does rebound even better this year, I could see some team paying him. Maybe it's the Steelers. Who knows? But there might be another chance to start. But if it goes poorly, that's what I think both those quarterbacks could struggle to start again. Whereas I feel like, especially Howell, but certainly I think Fields as well is going to get another shot at some point. I think that the idea of trading for him is something teams didn't want to do, but especially next year, if he's a free agent and any team can just pay him whatever they feel, that's when we might see some movement on him coming back to becoming a starter. And if Fields ever gets to be a starter, he's shown tremendous upside. And if Howell's shown to be a starter, he's shown he can at least be a volume quarterback and,
mm-hmm.
you know, teams aren't afraid to have him throw. So dynasty wise, I think I'd still rather have Howell and Fields over Geno and Russell Wilson. But that might be a hot take considering we're not expecting those young guys to start week one.
I like it. And that certainly makes it tempting to try and go out and get one of those guys. I mean, like in my situation with full press fantasy, I have all of a sudden I went from one quarterback to four. If I find somebody who, you know, has either Howell or Fields, you know, maybe shop a Minshew or Darnold later on in the season, would that be something to consider, or is that a little too much?
I would almost. I feel like if you're going to make that move, Brad, I'd do that now before the NFL draft. Well, those other guys are still penciled in as starters, which is maybe a good transition to start talking about free agent signings since they both apply to that. But yeah, I'd right now might be the best value you get out of Darnold and Minshew. And I've thought about it too in some of the leagues where I have both those quarterbacks, especially Darnold. I could see the Raiders. I guess we already spoiled it. I was going to go in order of money, but I could see, I guess maybe we could talk about them later. Because really the big news are the couple of quarterbacks that got some nine-figure deals here. Kirk Cousins, 4 years, $180 million with the Atlanta Falcons. So moving from the Vikings to Atlanta, we talked about the revamped offense, and this is the big revamp, is big money spending on Kirk Cousins. Also have Baker Mayfield staying with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 3 years, $100 million. So, those two competing, I guess also against Derek Carr in the NFC South. But so I guess you've already given your takes a little bit on Cousins in terms of the how he'll help the offense in general. But if there's specifics you want to talk about Cousins, feel free, Brad.
We've talked about him before. I mean, he's a silent assassin when it comes to fantasy football. I mean, he puts up the stats, he gets the touchdowns. I think he's going to a nice situation there. Obviously, going to a wonderful. Wonderful part of the conference, the NFC South, to make some noise and put up some numbers. I don't think really the needle moves that much. Going from Minnesota to Atlanta, maybe maybe slightly above. I mean, there are concerns, you know, him coming back from the Achilles. But I mean, I think those weapons, I mean, I think Atlanta's going to, you know, hopefully for the first time in a while, probably since their little Super Bowl run, have some fireworks on offense and do some good things. And as far as Baker goes, still never been a fan. I can't believe he got that kind of contract. Yes, he earned it on his deal last year. You know, kudos to him. And but you know, once again, the thing that favors him is being in that division. You know, seeing some of those teams, you know, twice. Obviously, re-signing Evans, still Godwin there. I'm definitely more confident in Cousins going to Atlanta than Baker to Tampa. Obviously, the salaries show that as well. Yeah, that's kind of where I am on both those guys.
The big and would that confidence go to Dynasty? Like, if, you know, you'd rather have Cousins in Dynasty still over Baker Mayfield? Would have certainly been the case last year entering the season. We didn't, you know, there was talk of, is Baker even going to get the job over Kyle Trask? Right. We should have saw that coming, that yes, he was very emphatically got the job over Kyle Trask. But but now, considering Cousins' Achilles injury
and the age,
with these big contracts, who would you rather have in Dynasty?
Oof. I know who I'd want in redraft.
That's what I was going to say. It sounds like, you know, assuming Kirk Cousins plays week one, sounds like you'd much rather have him in redraft than Baker.
I think I would still roll with Cousins. I think we can still get at least two more good years out of him, possibly three, and then you can kind of think of a rebuild. I know it sounded like a broken record. Yeah, just Baker Mayfield, he just doesn't really do it for me. I know there's probably an eight to nine year difference in age, something like that, maybe. I think what Cousins can give you in a couple years to keep you viable and going after a championship is going to outweigh what Baker can do, you know, in the long run when you can replace Cousins at a later date.
Yeah, and that's fair. I guess my concern actually with Cousins really is just coming off this Achilles injury. Is he going to be healthy week one? And because he's been a tremendous quarterback, I think very easily he's been a better quality quarterback than Baker Mayfield has for all the entirety of both their careers, we'll say. as good as, you know, specific seasons Baker's had.
Right.
Now, that does include last year, where Baker had one of the best seasons of his career. Gets a lot of those weapons back as well. The Buccaneers re-signing Mike Evans before free agency. That was super key, I think. To the point where I have actually moved Baker up inside the top 20 of my Dynasty rankings. Now, probably temporarily, because I got to admit, it looks like there's at least three rookie quarterbacks that are going to come in and be basically like top 15 options right away in terms of dynasty value. So probably will be out of the top 20 after the NFL draft once we insert rookies into the dynasty rankings. But for now, I actually do have Baker ahead of Cousins. Just the concerns with Cousins' injury. Yeah, Baker's the healthy one. Like you mentioned, the age too.
Yeah, it's fair. Yeah.
He finished as a QB1 last year. And I know he actually had the type of season last year that we've been seeing from Kirk Cousins, the QB6 to QB10, 11, I think. I think Baker was, I want to say he finished in the top 10. Was he 7, 8, 9, something like that? I mean, I can look that up.
Possibly, but, yeah.
But yeah, I again, it's no Mike Evans back. Okay, that's it. Then we're talking a different conversation. I think
there's a concern. Yeah, I got you.
I would have really hesitated to put Baker up into the top five, I think. Or sorry, the top 20. Yeah. Sorry, flashback to I guess it would have been 2019.
Something like that. Yeah.
After Baker's rookie season, there's a lot of him as including myself in rankings, having him inside the top five.
Yep.
Especially once Andrew Luck retired. So he moved him up even more. Yeah, it looks like Baker Mayfield was the QB10 last year.
Okay. So, yeah.
Now, to be fair, that includes like CJ Stroud, a spot below him. Stroud missed a couple games.
Yep.
So if you go for points per game, Stroud would technically be ahead of him. And there's a couple guys like Lawrence, Wilson, Stafford that all didn't play complete seasons and did technically outscore Baker in points per game. So, you know, points per game wise, you can argue it's really like a top 15 season, but still finished as a QB1, maybe not quite the QB1 seasons Cousins has had, but I think he can give you close enough to that. That you mentioned the age. I'm still concerned a little bit with the injury with Cousins, that I would just rather play it safe and take Baker ahead of him. Which means he might actually be a good buy in Dynasty right now, to be honest, because I wonder if QB19 in the consensus rankings, I wonder if that's not nearly as high as what a lot of people have him at. And so if again, it's all your league dependent. It doesn't matter what the quote unquote market says for the price. If you're in one of your leagues, want to go buy Baker, all that really matters is what that manager thinks of his price. But if they think it's low enough, I'm just looking at the consensus ranking here, and Baker's ECR, expert consensus ranking right now, is QB23. Now that actually, I think, does include a few of the rookies. A
few of the rookies, I would think so. Yeah.
Yeah. So, maybe that's QB20 really, if you take out three rookies.
Right. Right.
Actually, maybe not. Yeah. I think that includes the rookies. We can move on though to some of the, other contracts that weren't as large, but really, I guess the next two would be those two guys you mentioned. Gardner Minshew, a 2-year, $25 million contract with the Las Vegas Raiders. And then Sam Darnold, a 1-year, $10 million deal with the Vikings. Both look to be the starters right now on their teams, with the chance that both teams could draft quarterbacks in the first round. Who do you prefer just between those two? Minshew, and I mean, you have both on your team, right? So maybe a bit of transparency here, but also if someone's looking to acquire one via trade, like, where do you prioritize in terms of value? Are they equal to you? Is there one that's higher than the others?
I don't know if it's just, being down here in Jacksonville, we had Gardner for a little while, but I've seen him play a little bit. I know how a team, just gravitates towards him and him being a leader. And he finds a way to win, too. I mean, he's come in some huge games, whether as a backup with the Eagles or – taking the Colts last year to the cusp of the playoffs, and I like him there with Adams. He doesn't have the strongest arm out there. I think we've seen a little bit more of a sample from him. A lot of it not too good being down here in Jacksonville, but that had a lot to do with the team around him. But I do like Darnold. Get another opportunity. I'm not sure how it's going to materialize there in Minnesota. Definitely has a nice little running back and Jones coming there, and obviously Jefferson's still there. But as far as the total package, I mean, I look at the entire team. I kind of prefer Minshew. I mean, even playing off the defense as well. I mean, I think the Raiders certainly started to come along a little bit defensively last year. I think they made some adjustments in the offseason as well. I think that's going to help him out to not necessarily be the game manager, but to really just, I think of it more of a flow manager. He can feed off the defense. He's going to be able to make timely passes. And whereas I think Darnold's going to have some trouble finding that other receiver if Jefferson's quadruple coverage, which could happen, because I mean, obviously he's not going to have Hockenson early on to be a safety valve. So it's
injuries.
I prefer Minshew. Do you have a preference out of the two?
Yeah, I've got Minshew ranked he's really just a couple spots ahead of Sam Darnold right now. Definitely raised Sam Darnold up in the rankings quite a bit because of this. So you getting tied to Justin Jefferson is certainly great, but I also look at the contract. 2 years for Minshew, only 1 year for Darnold. It's a little more annual per year as well for Minshew.
Right.
It does seem like Vegas is more prepared to have him as their starter.
Sounds like it.
It really feels like Minnesota is not going to go into the season with Darnold as the starter. They're going to do what they can to. The rumors are they're going to try and trade up for a rookie quarterback. It seems like the Raiders, I mean, they tried to last year but couldn't, because the three teams that took quarterbacks really wanted them. And I mean, to be fair, there was talk about Will Levis and they didn't take him. So
right.
Maybe this team again decides, yeah, not quite ready for the rookie. They tried with Garoppolo last year. They even brought in Aiden O'Connell. And Aiden O'Connell's still there on a rookie contract as well. He's not one of the rookie contract QBs that got traded.
Right.
So I could see it being Minshew, O'Connell. And right now I've got Minshew directly behind that block. I mentioned those four QBs. But Russell Wilson is my QB27 in Dynasty. Minshew is QB28.
Okay.
If he survives the draft and he's still the starter, I would strongly consider him raising him up into that QB2 range to at least QB24. So this is the, I guess, full circle. Earlier I mentioned, I talked about, last year, strangely enough, Justin Fields got hurt and Kirk Cousins. I lost both of them to injury. So really needed a quarterback. Starting Mac Jones, way too many weeks there. I actually picked up Aiden O'Connell as well, funny enough. So there's a couple of starts out of him. Ultimately, I wanted to make a trade for QB, and Sam Howell was going to cost a first. Was able to get Minshew for the 203, and I think I got like an extra third back. So that trade has paid dividends. I mean, it didn't actually help me make the playoffs last year, but now I might have a starting QB this year, since I may not have Justin Fields as a starting QB. So,
exactly. I hear you. Yeah.
Going to have to address that position. But, you know, maybe Minshew at least gives me one starter. So, yeah, I agree. Rather Minshew than Darnold. So, to your point, Brad, I'd at least start shopping Darnold around. See, like, okay, who are now the teams that are maybe...
Do it before the draft. Okay.
When you're not looking at your team as like, I'm the most QB needy team. Now, who is that team right now? Yeah. And try and see, are they willing to take on Darnold? Justin Jefferson manager, Jordan Addison manager. Do they want those stacks?
I hear
thoughts
you.
There, I think.
Exactly.
And I guess maybe a lot of the people in the league are listening to this too. But yeah, there's Brad's selling a quarterback. Man, how things have changed. All exactly. of a sudden, it's crazy. Just like the NFL, right? So much has changed in such little time.
For sure. Hey, real quick, before we move on, like, where is Denver picking and what is their situation as far as...
Oh, they definitely seem like they're going to take a quarterback.
Am I just... having a break.
I think, I'll look up their draft order. To be fair, I think the Vikings, right? Those would be the two teams in similar situations. Actually, right. They pick back to back. The Vikings are 11th, Denver's 12th.
Okay.
So, you know, they may want, like, they both might try and trade up. They could also both just stick there thinking, okay, maybe we don't get some of the first tier quarterbacks, but
McCarthy
that second tier will still be able to just grab whoever we want from there. So,
okay.
It seems like there's a lot more noise about the Vikings trying to trade up than the Broncos.
Okay.
I know the rumors with Denver is JJ McCarthy, it seems like.
Yeah. Okay. That's what
they're content if, like, I guess they're expecting McCarthy to kind of go around there. And if, you know, all the other teams have addressed quarterback that, you know, that are in the top three, likely they probably go McCarthy 12, but you know, someone might, you know, the Vegas is actually right behind at 13. So do they jump Denver to get that quarterback? Again, it seems like Minnesota's more aggressive on wanting one of those top three prospects. Probably means they have to get into the top three. I think for sure after the trades they've just made, Chicago and Washington aren't moving. The one thing I could see Chicago do is actually, if Washington wants to overpay for the number one pick, I could see them moving down one spot.
Yeah,
are you willing to throw to the 102? Especially if the Bears have two quarterbacks they really like, they still get one of them. Seems like the Vikings are going to trade up. It's going to be with the Patriots at 3 to basically take the Patriots quarterback and not let them have one.
Right. Interesting. Okay. Yeah. I just wanted, I wasn't sure where the Broncos were going. So, okay.
Actually, speaking of the Patriots, the last team we'll talk about in terms of a potential starter is the New England Patriots. And they, in fact, gave two quarterbacks contracts that might be fighting for the starting job. Okay. So one is Nathan Rourke. Let's just get that out of the way. They after picking him up off waivers last year, exclusive rights free agent, but they had to tender him a qualifying offer, which he signed. I believe it was $915,000, none of it guaranteed. So he's got to make the roster to see that money. But that at least showed they wanted to get that done early in free agency. They might have even, I think they did that even before the Mac Jones trade. I think the qualifying offers were they had a much earlier date than the league year. So they had to do it by a certain date.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm kind of hoping at this point they trade down in the draft so that maybe, or, you know, just take like a generational wide receiver prospect and give Rourke a chance to fight for the starting job against Jacoby Brissett, who returns to the Patriots, where the team that drafted him. 1 year, $8 million. Okay, so I've taken the Justin Field blinders off. I'll take the Nathan Rourke blinders off. He's not going to start this year. I joke, I kid. Really, honestly, it kind of seems like the Patriots are just, like, unless the Vikings can make them a crazy good offer, they're just going to stick and take a QB at three. So Brissett might not even get a starting chance.
Right.
In the event they do trade down, I mean, Brissett, this might be his, like, big opportunity, just like he had with the Colts a couple years ago. You're the starter from get-go, start to finish. What can you do with this team? And if they're in the top three again next year, they definitely take a quarterback. But it feels like that's a better QB room than Mac Jones and Bailey Zappi. I think Zappi's still on the team as well. But ultimately, it looks like Brissett's the backup, maybe fighting with Rourke for that job, but most likely the veteran backup, and Rourke's the third guy. But I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, I would be surprised. I mean, yeah, I'd be surprised if they don't go quarterback there. But then again, I mean, if you need to, you know, pick up some more picks or whatever the case may be, and you know, Minnesota makes that deal, like you mentioned. I mean, it may be something to look at. But I really see them sticking their guns and taking one of those QBs at three. But yeah, we'll have to see. I'm not sure. I'm not sure about Rourke and Brissett, you know, as far as, you know, going out to grab either one of them, possibly Brissett. But
well, I was going to say Rourke's great because you can just pick him up for free off waivers, whereas you're going to actually have to trade for Jacoby Brissett. He's most likely on rosters, especially starting last year with Washington. From a cost perspective, I actually say go after Rourke just because he's free. A lot of leagues.
Okay.
You know, not the FBC listener league, of course. I've got him. But other leagues where I'm not playing in, you can, like, I've got way too much Nathan Rourke. So it was definitely hype when, you know, it was Jacoby Brissett. Like, they're not the team that brought in Gardner Minshew. And
true.
I think at least that's maybe a better competitor, say, like a Kirk Cousins. But there were some other quarterbacks signed to what looked like clear backup roles, but I thought it was at least worth it to walk through them. We'll go based off of total dollar amount. So starting with Tyrod Taylor. 2 years, up to $18 million with the New York Jets.
Wow.
One thing the Jets seemed to say as a mandate was, we need to upgrade the backup spot. So looks like Tyrod's certainly an upgrade over Zach Wilson, who he still hasn't been traded yet. Funny, he's the only one who stayed.
Yeah.
But that makes me wonder, there must be no value. Like, that's one where the Jets probably have to give a pick. Take this contract away from us. Please, here's a sixth-round pick. That's it. Like, so unlike these other quarterbacks, that actually there was a return. Specifically, like the Steelers and the Commanders, they get to move up into the third round because of the trades they made with the quarterback.
True.
And then again, stole Justin Fields. But yeah, so maybe Zach Wilson's on this team as a third stringer behind Taylor and, of course, Aaron Rodgers. Tyrod might get some starts. So I think it's kind of similar to Cousins with Taylor Heinicke right now. I think Heinicke's a great backup to have because of the potential slow recovery from the injury. Sure. I think Tyrod's the same thing. So it would be some of the backup quarterbacks I would prioritize. Another one, Marcus Mariota with the Washington Commanders. What if the rookie's not quite ready week one? Maybe you get some sneaky starts early in the year with Marcus Mariota. You know, he's at least got the rushing upside or rushing floor, but still, like, he can run in for some touchdowns. And then a couple of, I guess those two maybe chance to start, but it really does seem like we're getting to the clear backups. Almost identical contracts for Joe Flacco and Jameis Winston. Yeah. Funny enough, Winston almost replacing Flacco as he was signed by the Cleveland Browns. 1 year contract up to $8.7 million, which is basically Joe Flacco's contract with the Colts. It's a 1 year up to $8.7 million. Wow. Injury-prone quarterbacks, both with the Colts and Browns, so maybe there's some talk there. Buffalo, a familiar face. A couple years ago, they had Mitch Trubisky as the backup. They brought him back 2 years, $5.25 million, which they're probably saying he's way better than Kyle Allen. So let's do this and let's give him multiple years so we don't have to deal with this every year and bring in Kyle Allen next year. Sorry, Kyle Allen. I just don't think he's very good. this last one's very interesting. Drew Lock to the New York Giants. 1 year, $5 million. I think this almost applies to like a Tyrod Taylor and Taylor Heinicke to a certain extent. Yes, Daniel Jones coming off the knee injury. Yes. And honestly, Daniel Jones' play hasn't been that inspiring. Like, I think we could see Drew Lock start some games. So,
yes.
Actually, I'm checking my dynasty rankings. I actually have Drew Lock ranked ahead of both Heinicke and Tyrod Taylor. Drew Lock currently QB 33 for me. A couple
Okay.
spots behind Jacoby Brissett.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, yeah. Looking at your list, yeah, Locke's the one that certainly jumped off the page to me. No surprise, my feelings towards Daniel Jones, but I think that's a great spot for him. I think he's going to get the opportunity, there. Maybe not right offhand, but as you mentioned, Jones coming off the injury, but I think he's more than a viable backup for the Giants. I'm completely blown away by some of these contracts. 18 million for Tyrod Taylor, but I mean that's certainly something the Jets needed was after what happened last year, and then I was surprised Mariota was still around, going to Washington.
And to be fair with like the Tyrod, it's up to 18 million. So there might be
Oh, okay.
playing time incentives. So it might not be a
Gotcha.
full
Okay.
18 million if he, let's say
Gotcha.
he's Rodgers is good to go week one and he plays through the whole way and Tyrod is just a backup. I don't think he quite sees
Gotcha.
18
Okay.
million. I put the max amounts on the sheet.
Gotcha. Okay. But yeah, no, but to follow up, yeah, I really like the Drew Lock thing. I think similar to your reasoning as well. So yeah, I like that one. Out of that those group of players there, I like that. Also, the Flacco, I mean, Anthony Richardson certainly shown that he dating back to his college days has been very injury prone. Just his style of play is definitely has some risk, and Flacco certainly showed that he could still sling it around a little bit. Definitely contrasting types of styles there. So the offense would have to shift around that. So do you think Locke gets any kind of opportunity in with the Giants, or I
Well,
mean,
like I said, I think his
kind
best
of
opportunity to start might be like week one if Daniel Jones isn't
early?
quite ready, recovered from
Gotcha.
that knee injury, or even
Yeah.
if he's like
Yeah.
kind of healthy, but they don't want to risk it right away. So it might be at a point in the season where you don't really need
Yeah, it
him
was a
because
smart
your
pickup. Yeah.
quarterbacks are healthy too. Like
Sure.
but maybe if Jones flounders enough and things aren't looking great, it could be similar to what we saw with Ritter and Howell and Pickett, where Jones gets benched late in the season is kind of a signal to
Hey,
everyone
yeah.
involved, yeah, your time's done. And now, I mean, Locke's just a 1 year contract, but if the Giants want him further, there maybe is incentive to get him on the field and see what he can do with this team. If
Sure.
it is an increase on Jones, rather than go with a big spending free agent, can they get Locke for a little bit, build the team up around him, and then if it's really still not working, then you either go with a rookie quarterback or a high price free agent. So I think it gives the Giants options, and maybe it is just a 1 year backup and they're cleaning house for quarterback next year anyway, and they're going, even if Drew Lock does well, they'll still go for someone big. So it's
Gotcha.
might not be much guaranteed. Like I said, QB 33 right now might be a little high, might be aggressive, and maybe just me liking that landing spot because the receiving weapons around him aren't great.
Yeah, they're
I feel like it was
still not
better a
great.
better
Yeah.
situation in Denver and in Seattle. So it's definitely a worse situation for Lock in terms of what to throw to around him. I do like Wan'Dale Robinson, but it's a 5'7" slot receiver is like the alpha of your passing game. It's not inspiring a ton of confidence.
True.
Like
It's true. It's true.
now, if you had other good receivers around him, it might be better, but it just feels like can't just put it all on Wan'Dale. But yeah, we'll see. But anyway, thanks, Brad. Great episode. Thank you, all the listeners. Be sure to follow us on X at FPC underscore fantasy pod. Brad's at the rundown underscore BH. I'm at Sunday Says. Just want to shout out PA the Second. Let us use the song Wallet as our intro and outro music. So appreciate PA for that. On X at PA underscore II official. Check out PA. All his great work, all the great music he puts out. And Brad, any final thoughts for the listeners?
No, this is always a great time. Hopefully, we provided some information. Maybe get you thinking about your dynasty team, how you want to roll it. I know I started thinking. We'd love to hear from you if you got any questions or anything. But as always, thanks for listening, guys.
And of course, we'll address all the other positions on the next episode of Full Press Fantasy Pod.